It's so personal. It's one thing to talk about it objectively, but in the very midst of things going on in our life, there's something about it that's so, so intimate to each of us that that what Isaiah is saying that the Lord is doing, and to recognize that when we walk by faith and not by sight, there's times we can feel like we're walking in darkness. But we're not walking in darkness. We're walking in the light of faith and His promise that His countenance will shine upon us, that His countenance will break through that darkness. And so, you know, when I had said before that in that passage from Revelation that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, that when we hear testimonies of other people going through things that aren't necessarily always neat and clean, but have a combination of things, and we get through on the other side and we look back and to realize, wow, you were there all the time. You were there all the time. And your light was shining on this situation all the time. And I may have felt like one of those persons that was in darkness, but your light was shining all the time. And so that whole notion again that faith comes by hearing, and what is heard is the word of the Lord. That we hear the word of the Lord proclaimed, and also we hear that word of the Lord walked out in other people's lives. And that builds faith. It builds strength and it builds hope. Because there's something about it that's real, it's palatable, it's not just theory. And that's really important. It's vital. And I know as I say that in many ways I'm talking to the choir when I say that. But in light of things that we can see coming and other things that we don't see coming, I mean, sometimes things seem to come out of left field. Other times we can anticipate it. And when those things come out of left field, it's, Lord, I know you promised to be here with me or with us in the midst of this. And you have been faithful, and I've heard other people's stories of your faithfulness. And so I draw upon that, knowing that you are faithful, and you are eternally faithful. And you've come such a long distance, such a long way for us. And you're always waiting for us. And I know we've heard this before. Sometimes we can spend much of our life thinking that we're waiting on God, and the truth is He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us because He's there. And that light penetrates the darkness, it penetrates the shadows, and when His light shows up, darkness immediately flees. So to do with this particular gospel that happens in Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, where the disciples ask Jesus a question, and they just, it's kind of a statement question. They just say, Lord, increase our faith. And if we were on like an 8-hour retreat as a parish, and we were spending time with that, to go back to Luke chapter 17 or Luke chapter 15, verse 1, and to go revisit those parables. The three parables, the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Then the parable of the unjust steward. Then the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And what's woven in there is also some discourse material that Jesus talks about how you can't serve two masters. And he talks about, think about, make sure that you avoid offenses. And so we take this passage and to a certain extent we pull it out of its context, and we hear that. But if we were to insert it back into its context and to realize that the disciples have been listening to Jesus, and they know that he's been talking about a relationship as to how the Father acts and who the Father is, and at some point they finally look at him and they say, golly gee, increase my faith. Because you're talking about the Lord in such a way that I have never, ever experienced. I've never experienced that. And when you talk about him, you talk about him in such a way that you have this relationship and this joyfulness, peacefulness within you and about you. And then you do these teachings that just turns my whole world upside down again, and all I can do is listen to everything that you've said and watch the things that you do, and I marvel at it and say, good heavens, Lord, increase my faith. And so when we hear testimonies, we can be going through something and saying, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith to know that your light is shining right now in the midst of this thing, whatever it may be, that your light is shining and you've traveled such a long way and you're waiting for me. It's not me waiting upon you. And that's a whole change there too. It's a whole shift as to what that means, that the Lord is constantly waiting for us. I mean, it's like we come here this morning and we're going to gather around the altar again. It's like the Lord's been waiting for us. And every time, we come into His presence just enlightens everything. If we can recognize that, well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and your light shines on the darkness and dispels it. And there's a hope and there's a freedom there. I had a really long homily. Believe me, I had a long homily. And as I was considering it and praying about what to do with that, I realized that it was almost too much for a setting such as this. It's not that it's unimportant, but it was almost too long for a setting such as this. But I want to tell you a little, I want to give you a little kind of a story that is a word picture. And then just say a couple of things about that and then move on. So this would be more apropos for cold climates than it would be warmer climates. But if you could imagine that you are standing on the shore of a lake, and there was just a smallest little skiff of ice on this lake. But what you would be saying to yourself is, I know that if I start walking out across this skiff of ice, that I know it's going to hold me up. I just know it's going to hold me up. Even though it's this little skiff, I just know it's going to hold me up. And you start across this little skiff of ice, and within the first step, you break through and you sink and your feet are on the bottom and the water's coming up and you broke right through it. Even though you said, I know that I'm going to be able to walk on this skiff of ice and not break through. And then you look at it and think, but that didn't happen. I broke through it. I believed that I wasn't going to break through it. I believed with all my heart I wasn't going to break through it, but I broke right through it. It didn't hold me up. Let's say that you were standing on the shore of a lake and there was ice that was 3 feet thick on it. And you were standing there and saying, I don't think this is going to hold me. You know, I don't care that it's 3 feet or not. I just don't think there is any way this is going to hold me. I'm sure if I step out on this ice, I'm going to absolutely break through. I just don't have a lot of faith that's going to hold me. But I'm going to go ahead and take the risk. So you step out on the ice, and guess what happens? You don't break through. It holds you up. You walk clear across, and you're fine. And you're going, wow, this is amazing. Faith has something as its object. Okay? So when we put our faith in something or someone, is a faith that we give to something or someone able to hold us up? Or is a faith that we put into something we may put all the faith and all the juices and all the creativity we want to in it, but the fact of the matter is, it doesn't have the ability to hold us up. Are you with me? So faith, on the one hand, we operate in faith all the time. I mean, we do it almost kind of automatically, like you go out, and for all of you who drove here this morning, and I imagine that it was most of you, you go out and you get in your car and you put the keys in the ignition, and without thinking it, you're just presuming, having faith, and I'm using it that way, that it's going to start. So we operate in a kind of faith all the time. We just presume that things are going to work in a certain way, right? We just do. We kind of operate that. And when things don't work, we can get a little upset, needless to say. But see, when it comes to faith in Christ, we as Christians believe that He has the ability to hold us up. That when we step out in Him and on Him, that despite some misgivings or despite some potential worries or fears or doubts and anxieties, we look at that and to realize He has the ability to hold us up. And see, testimonies have a way of making that ice get thicker and thicker and thicker. It has the ability of making the foundation of our life becoming more rich into where we feel safer, to the extent that pretty soon we're out there playing on the ice. I remember grew up in Twin Falls, Idaho, and in the wintertime, there was one of these canals that would be water sitting, and then there would get all this ice on it, and we would go over there in the wintertime and just have a ball on the ice. We'd do makeshift hockey stuff and just play all kinds of things because it was there, and there was not really any fear or concern that we were going to break through it. It was a ball. Just had a ball on the ice because we knew it would hold us up, because it was way too cold for it not to, because it was very much frozen. And there's something about that playfulness and that childness, like, and that gleeness about being someplace and to know that you're safe and you can even start exploring more. And you can think, I wonder how far this ice goes. You know, I wonder what's around that corner. And there's this playfulness and this, like I said, this glee, this delight in the midst of that. But you got to step out there in the first place. And we just have to step out there and to realize that the Lord has us. He's got a hold of us. We're not going to break through. He's got us right in the palm of His hand. And His light's shining upon us. And He keeps speaking to us these words of faith and hope that I'm here, I'm here, I'm with you. I'm right with you, in you. Like that Irish prayer of the Father Bill was sharing with me the other day, but you know, the whole notion of the Lord behind me and under me and on me and in me and, you know, and all of that. That the Lord is always there. And we're standing on Him and standing in Him and playing in Him and rejoicing in Him and so playful. Instead of just like, oh my Lord, I hope I don't break through. And afraid I might step in the wrong place, when all of a sudden I begin to trust the fact that this is cool. This is really cool. He's right there, and He's holding me up, and I'm safe, and I don't have to be afraid. And when the disciples can say, Lord, increase our faith, you may not get the fact that there's a bit of humor there. It's kind of like the bit of humor that happened in a couple of the parables that is kind of missed. For example, in the parable of the Lazarus and the rich man, when it starts out by saying, there was a rich man who dressed in purple every day, and it even mentions about his linen garments. See, we miss the fact that there's a bit of humor there. In other words, his underwear was really nice. It didn't bunch up, okay? It was really, I mean, like it was sweet, right? And see, we miss that a little bit. And we also miss to do with the unjust steward when he says, you know, I'm too proud to beg, and quite frankly, I don't want to be out there digging ditches, you know? And see, we miss some of those things. And so to realize that when we approach the Lord, sometimes we get this sense that the Lord is so serious and so foreboding, when the disciples can look at him and say, Rabbi, Master, increase our faith. And he says, fellas, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, do you know what you could do? If you just had faith this size. It's not a condemnation, it's accusation, it's an invitation. If you just had this little faith, do you know what you could do? Do you know what you could do? Do you know what you could do? Just this little faith. And we miss that kind of bantering that he's doing. Isn't it amazing that sometimes humor in regards to rhetoric and teaching has a way of drawing the people in? And sometimes those kind of humorous anecdotes has a way of making the point even go deeper and more richer, because it creates a sense of relaxing. Jesus wasn't scolding them. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say. And sometimes that's how we approach it. It's really how we approach it. Jesus came to bring life and life in abundance. Life and life in abundance. He did not come to steal, kill, or destroy. There's somebody else who does that. He doesn't do that. So in your life and in my life and in corporately, when we say, Lord, increase my faith, man, he wants to do that. He's just waiting for us to ask. And it's like, oh my Lord, if I ask him to increase my faith. Wow, that's pretty cool. It's kind of almost echoey, you know. Lord, if I ask you to increase my faith, it's like asking for patience. Now are you going to bring all of these situations in my life that's going to just test my patience, right? It's like don't pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, God's going to give you in situations that's driving you crazy, driving you nuts. But he's teaching me patience, and I really like it because I'm learning a lot now. God, give me more things that drive me crazy so I can have more patience. Bring more people in my life that it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. I can't wait for them. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. See, it's one thing to say that God created us in his image and likeness, and we are his sons and daughters, but it even takes it deeper when we say whose we are his, intimately his. He wants to take us on this journey, walking out on this ice, knowing that we're not going to break through, that we can have faith in him, and he's worthy of that. There are other things that are not worthy of that. There are other things that are not worthy of that. There are other things that are not worthy of that. But he is. And he will sustain us and hold us and then invite us to play. Amen. So if we could put that creed up there, Riley.